Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
But first, I'm joined in the studio by Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
How are you?
Well, I'm a lot better. And you remember you were kind enough to give me the opportunity to explain back in April that I had had a cancer diagnosis for throat cancer and that I would be stepping back from politics for a few months to get the treatment. And I got the scan that you get after the treatment. You know, the treatment has taken months, and I got a scan in the last week or so, which has said that the treatment has been successful and has eliminated the cancer.
Which is great news. Yeah. I'm surprised it's come so soon. You know, it's relatively quick, or is it? What are they saying to you?
Well, I mean, I will have to be monitored closely. I've got to have checkups every 3 months with this cancer for the next 5 years. But they are saying it's worked. Like, it's as good a result for the treatment I got as you could get. Now, there are a lot of side effects, and the treatment is heavy. I mean, I think I mentioned when I was on your show before that the doctors had said this is going to be a harsh treatment, and they weren't.
They weren't
lying.
Yeah.
You know, it was a harsh treatment.
And there was no gilding the lily there. I mean, it was tough.
It was tough. And there are a lot of side effects, and I'm not 100%. You know, I'm not 100%, but I'm recuperating. I'm a lot better than I was. But the substantial issue of the actual cancer, the treatment has been successful in removing it. And so I got my life back. And that's fantastic. You know, it's absolutely fantastic.
I remember the time when we had that conversation, you were stepping back from, you know, your public life and politics, and you felt bad about that, which was extraordinary. But you were apologising to people, say you wouldn't be available for a while. But now are you stepping back in?
Yeah, I'm going to step back in. My doctor has said, because I've been talking to my radiotherapist, consultant, Sinead Brennan, and if I can, just take the opportunity to thank her and her team in St. Luke's, who've given my life back to me, basically. And also the chemotherapy, because I also got chemotherapy, and the people in the day ward, and there's so many people, Joan in the day ward, and Cliona Grant, the chemotherapist, and also the people in the Eye and Ear Hospital, Conrad Timon's team, you know, all these fantastic, a long list, and the hospital, I was hospitalised a few times during this, and you know, they were just all amazing. So I just wanted to thank them. But I was talking to Sinead Brennan last week, and she said ease back into it is the way she looked. I asked her about going back to work, and she said it's kind of up to you what you think you're able for.
Yeah.
And with the side effects and the treatment, I don't quite know, but I'm ready to try, so I'm going to
Be sensible about it.
Be sensible, exactly. Yeah. So I hope people will understand that I may not be going at 100% capacity for a while until I kind of, you know, try things out, because the side effects are substantial. Some of them, they don't know how long they last. Some of them can even be lifelong.
Can you tell us about those? What sort of side effects are you dealing with?
I mean, obviously, the radiotherapy for throat cancer is directed at your throat and your mouth. So there's significant, they burn the cancer out of your throat. And that means there's quite a lot of damage done to your throat.
But you sound really good.
I can hear it being a bit deeper, and it does change a little bit over the course of the day. And you can get tired, you know, my voice can get tired. So like public speaking, how all that's going to work. And, you know, I think it's improving all the time.
What does that feel like? Does that just feel like a strain on your throat and your vocal cords?
Yeah, I mean, you can just feel it. Sometimes it's sore. Sometimes it's kind of, you know, a bit choky, you know.
Yeah.
And, but also you get dry mouth and dry throat, which is obviously a problem for speaking. It's a problem for eating. I mean, one of the biggest side effects you're kind of dealing with as the treatment kind of impacts on your body and in the aftermath of the treatment is trying to eat. I mean, I didn't eat any food, solid food, for about 3 to 4 months. I was living on nutri drinks and shakes, which is
that can't have been much fun.
It was really not fun, and you wonder at that time, will you ever be eating normal food again? Your appetite is gone. You can't hold anything down at periods. You know, like the nausea, all that stuff. Mm. It's tough. It's tough. And
how did you cope with all of that? Because I can imagine if I was going through that, even the fact that I couldn't eat, but also what you just said there about, you know, will I ever be normal again? That must be really hard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're asking out, like you're talking to the doctors every week and they're kind of saying, no, look, it is, you're going to come through this. And I mean, if I could say a word about other patients that I met, because there was, you know, lots of people I got to know, and where we were helping each other, you know, people are a few weeks ahead of you on the treatment. And I should say this, after your show and throughout the whole thing, I got thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands of messages, letters, every type of communication you could imagine, social media contacts. And one of the groups of people who are contacting me from all over the country, from all political persuasions, from every background you can imagine, wishing me well, were people who'd been through the same treatment, giving me little tips and advice and saying, you will get through this, mm-hmm. and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So that meant you could see that there was a road out of this, even on the darkest days. Even, I'm sure there were bad days, right?
There was some, there was absolutely terrible days. And, you know, when you couldn't even hold down a glass of water, you know, such as the levels of nausea. And, yeah, you're losing weight and you're having to fight to try and maintain weight. But it was always mixed with other things. You know, even like going into the radiotherapy, I kind of laugh about it now. Because I was going in every day for several months to get the radiotherapy, and I had to have a mask on my head, which just strapped me down to the machine, which was,
sounds,
you know, like
evil.
A man in the iron mask, and it's pretty claustrophobic. But the radiotherapy people, I used to get them to put a different song on or a few songs on, so I had like a playlist that I.
So you've got headphones on, do you?
Well, they play it through speakers.
Okay.
In the room.
Nice.
So so you're listening to music, and they're so good that they would do that, you know, for you to help distract you while you're strapped down to this machine, and they're zapping you with the radio waves or whatever it is.
Well, I suppose it was useful for you to get a look inside the health service as well, you know, have that perspective on it.
Yes, well, now you see, sorry, I have to take a drink of water because one of the things...
Perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Work away.
You've got to carry around water with you all the time now. But yes, I absolutely did. And, you know, these health workers are just, first of all, amazing. I cannot thank them enough. But like one of the things they said, and I hope you don't mind, I mentioned it actually again on your show, but they reiterated the point is the machines that are used, the radiotherapy machines, they need new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that they can be more precise. There are new machines that are more precise in targeting the cancer in radiotherapy, which will leave people with less side effects. And some of these side effects can be lifelong. Now, listen, they're a price worth paying to get rid of cancer. So, like, that's
I remember you mentioning that when you were in April. So you get to see that then firsthand when you're going through it.
Yeah, you get to see it firsthand. And that's the difference, because the more they can just target the cancer cells and not hit the healthy cells around it, the less side effects you get.
Mm-hmm.
So they're refining that kind of stuff, I presume, all the time. I mean, I'm not the expert, but according to the radiotherapy people, there are new machines that are much more precise that will lessen the side effects, and that they are looking to get those machines in St. Luke's and I presume in other cancer services across the country.
Yeah.
So that's certainly something I said I'm going to advocate for.
So you were still thinking like a politician and a representative while you were going through all of this, because I'm sure that was really difficult for you, because as people know, you're a very active politician. And did you switch that side off? Did you have to, or could you?
I mean, no. I mean, you're very, very focused on what's happening because it's very, very intense. So, like, that sort of political head is maybe working in terms of the health service and what you're experiencing in the health service. But your day is completely taken up for months and months and months with, you know, the treatment, the consequences of the treatment, meeting different bits of the cancer service kind of teams, you know, whether it's radiotherapy or chemotherapy, or the people in the eye and ear who'd done the initial surgery, because I also had surgery at the outset of this, and there's speech and language people, there's dietitians, you know, trying to help you through on the food side of things so that you can maintain weight. So it's very intense. Mm-hmm. And I needed a lot of support. And if I could also thank, you know, my partner, family, friends. I had a team of friends who were on a kind of rota basis driving me in for the treatment, because you're supposed to not drive yourself. There was just so many people helping out.
Backup team.
Backup team. So I'm eternally grateful to all of them, mm-hmm. for what they did. But yes, of course, it was frustrating as well, because I was keeping an eye on the news when I could, when I felt well enough, you know, like what is happening
because in the
political world.
When you were here in April, I got the sense that you felt guilty about having to step back. But you it sounds like you found that you were forced really to take a full step back.
Yes, but of course you are conscious of, you know, your constituents and, you know, that, like, they elected you to be there to represent mm-hmm. them. And that's why I am keen. I'm very glad to get the opportunity to say here that I'm on my way back. I want to thank my office in Dunleary, who did continue to kind of provide a constituency service, and Breed Smith, who helped out in the office, a former TD, you know, they stepped in for me as much as they could to try and cover for
but maybe, our constituents. Maybe we should have a substitute TD system here, because you can do it at other levels in the political system, at EU level and at a council level, you know, in situations like that where you've got illness. Would it be useful if you had somebody who could fully step into your role?
It would absolutely be useful. I think it's a very good idea. And to be honest, until this happened, it wouldn't have occurred to me. But, you know, when I think about the fact that I've been basically out of things for 6 or 7 months, I think it would be an extremely good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, of course, for the European Parliament, you can have substitutes. So I would certainly think that would be a good idea. And I hope, I'll just beg the indulgence as well of, you know, the public and my constituents over the next few months. I'm going to be coming back in the next few weeks, but I will be on a phase basis, and I hope they'll just be a bit patient with me. But I'm keen to get back doing my job and representing the people who elected me.
Mm-hmm. Did it give you a different perspective on anything, on whether that's politics, the health service, your own life, what you're doing with your life, any of those things?
That's a very good question. I don't know. It certainly makes you appreciate life, you know, being alive. And it makes you very much appreciate the importance of our health workers, you know, and what they're doing, just the amazing work they're doing for people. And the meeting all the people from all the different backgrounds who are going through the experience of having cancer and getting the treatment, and all the amazing goodwill that I experienced with the letters, the messages, the emails, like, it just made me think the vast majority of people out there are very good and decent people.
Yeah, and were those messages from people who are across the political spectrum?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I got...
So what were they saying to you? I mightn't agree with you, Richard.
Loads of people saying that. And I should say, because I saw Michael D. Higgins was ill in the last couple of days, I got a phone call from Michael D., for example, wishing me well. And I want to wish him very well, a speedy recovery. But from all across the political spectrum, in the Dáil and across Irish society, you know, lots of people... And I'm not particularly religious, but I had people saying masses for me. I had people from the Muslim community, from all sorts of different religious communities, sending me messages, wishing me the best, saying they were praying for me. And people saying, I don't agree with you politically, but... And obviously my own party, I should thank people for profit. They were, you know, really fantastic in trying to help me through this, mm-hmm. Trying to cover for me. Yeah, it was certainly, like, there's a lot of positives to take out
yeah.
of it.
Well, people are good, aren't yeah. they, in the main? That's what you take out of that. And of course, we had the presidential election while you were going through all of this, and a candidate of the left now will be in the Oris. Did you keep an eye on that whole campaign, or were you away from it?
No, I kept a very close eye on it. And
were you frustrated that you couldn't be part of it?
Very much, very much. But I'm delighted. I mean, in fact, it was when you were hosting leaders' question, sorry, the leaders' debate for the election back in 2020, that I think it was one of the first times that I put forward the argument for the left getting together and the possibility of a left government. Mm-hmm. It was in that debate.
In Limerick, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we've been arguing that. I'm blowing our own trumpet a bit here, but people for profit have been consistently arguing that if the left came together and formed some sort of united front, we could be more than the sum of our parts, and that the potential for us to kind of win is there.
You'll know how difficult that has been in the past, you know, and Micheál Martin was in here yesterday and I was saying to him, are you worried about that the left will come together? And he went, well, you know, they've struggled to agree. And he's right, you know.
Again, I'd be the first to acknowledge that there has been fragmentation. But I think we saw in the Catherine Connolly campaign that we can unite, and I hope that lesson will be taken forward, not just for the next elections to give us the first left government this country has ever seen, but also in campaigning. Like, we've seen the left unite around particular campaigns very successfully over the years. And I'd like us to do it on things like the cost of living over the next while, on the issues of housing. You know, I think there's a potential for us to really unite, to push forward on these issues, which are so urgent and affecting mm-hmm. people. We've seen how people have come together around Gaza and the demand for solidarity and sanctions on Israel for the genocidal crimes they're committing against the Palestinian people. And that has mobilised huge forces in Irish society, putting pressure on the political system. So that potential for particularly the left to come together and to create a movement for change, I think we've seen that now with the presidential election, and it should be taken forward and applied on some of the many urgent issues facing us in our society.
In the meantime, though, you are coming back, and I hope you will come back in a sort of a way that is gentle to yourself and you know, and not push yourself too much. Are you changed? Are you different, do you think?
I certainly, my political outlook and principles haven't changed a bit, but I think you learn. You always learn from experiences, and certainly I think the thing that you do learn is it should maybe reinforce an idea that you maybe forget, which is the vast, vast majority of people are decent people, and they want the right thing, mm-hmm. you know. They want a better world, they want a fairer world, and they're good, you know, they want to be good to each other. Sometimes the pressures of life maybe push people in different directions,
yeah.
and the bad side can come out, the nasty side can come out. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, particularly in the cut and thrust of politics,
yeah.
you know, it might be easy to forget that really, you know, at a very base level, people are good.
Yeah. And to me, that just reinforces. I mean, that's to me is what socialism is about, or left wing politics should be about solidarity, about our common humanity, about, you know, we work better together, about cooperation. You know, I'm sure people on the other side of the political spectrum have a different perspective, but that's so it's reinforced a lot of my sense about the, you know, the potential and the possibility to change the world mm-hmm. for the better. And I'm glad I'm going to be around to try and play some part in
well,
that.
Well, it's great to see you, and I'm
thanks
glad you're so well.
Workers.
I'm glad you're so well, but do take it easy on yourself in the next little while. Don't be doing too much. Richard, thanks so much.
I will try my best.
Thanks for coming in and for catching up.
Best of luck to you. And,
thank you very much. Appreciate that.
The new pastures you're heading into.
Thank you. Richard Boyd Barrett. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.